Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio.
Me and my friend take this rap shit seriously.
Mic check, 1, 2. I ain't gonna do a whole lot of splashy mic check. 1, 2, 1, 2, and the place to be. I'm not gonna do a whole lot of that. It's real low key tonight. We doing this on the late night tip, but yes. Episode 152.
Yes, 152. Yeah, 152.
Episode 152, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, our host.
And yeah, we about to get busy. How you been, Josh?
I'm good. It's like the Quiet Storm edition.
You know, I got neighbors. You know what I'm saying? I try and be all loud and boisterous as we do this shit.
I got a puppy sleeping next to me, too. So, like, if you hear, like, random weird noises, it's because the puppy started, like, dreaming or shit like that.
Dogs are so cute with that shit when they be, like, sleep and be dreaming and be like, making little fucking weirdo noises and shit.
Yeah, I'm like, I was high, because when I first put him, I got like a little crate down here for him to, because like he freaks out if someone's not sleeping near him.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, because he had like 10 brothers and sisters, so like, you know what I mean?
He used to it.
So like we had to get like a little crate to like take into the room with you so like you could sleep. He could sleep, because the first couple of nights I slept on the sofa and that just wasn't going, that wasn't going to keep up. Like they have a crate to like take into the room so like someone can be in there with him. And like when I first brought him down here and put him in the crate and I was like setting up, I'm like, he was barking like crazy. I'm like, yo, this isn't gonna work. Like, right. You like to go in the other room or something.
Yeah,
so now he like rocked. So hopefully he stays rocked for the whole episode.
Yeah, we were chatting before we hit record, and at different times throughout that, my cat just decided to like hang out right here. I'm like, dog, if you don't get the fuck out of here, like, I don't want you sitting right here while I'm recording.
Yeah, like I held him the whole episode last week. He ended up rocking out on my lap. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do that again, dog. He's too fucking he's small, but he thick. So he's thick with 2 C's. So
Did you see this shit? It's a video that's been floating around. It's like a father and his little daughter. I think she's like 4. And they stop by like their neighbor's house and they're like, the neighbor's on the porch and the neighbor's pit bull runs out and gets out the gate.
No, I didn't see that.
Dog, Pops jumps on top of a car and leaves the little girl on the ground. And the dog, like the dog, you know how dogs are when they get out. Sometimes they're just excited. Like they're not even, you know, trying to like bite or whatever. He was just hype and was like running around. But obviously the little girl is like freaking out. And the dad is like on top of the car in fear. I was like, yo, he has to have like a deep phobia of dogs.
Yeah.
To like just leave your kid like that. But he, to his credit, he was trying to... He did leave her, but he was trying to he was like yelling at the dog and trying to divert the dog's attention
away from her. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. But it just the optics of it were fucking terrible.
Nah, not good. Yeah,
damn. She's definitely like,
you can have more kids. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
if the dog didn't kill your child, it definitely killed your child's trust and confidence in you.
Yes, exactly.
So it's a wrap after that.
Yeah, that baby will never look at him again the same way. Yo, dog. So, I told you posted the Bibby joint, that Bibby meme that was floating around the other day.
Oh, from Atlanta.
Yeah.
The barber. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I had a Bibby moment when I showed up to the barbershop the other day.
Really?
But, yeah, man, I showed up and, like, some dude was, like, in the chair. Like, I was supposed to be there at 9:30, and like I got there and he had just put dude in the chair. He was like, oh man, he showed up late. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that sounds like his problem. Like,
like, why am I being penalized? Like,
yeah, like now I'm late because, you know what I mean? So I actually had to bounce because I had another appointment to take care of, and I was like, yo, I gotta go. He was like, all right. He's like, yo, my bad, like just call me and I'll slide you in. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, cool. he was like, I got some openings today, so just call me. So I was like, all right. So I called him after I did a couple of runs. And he was like, yo, come, like, you know what I mean? Come at, like, noon or whatever, and I'll get you in. I said, all right. So I show up. And, yo, I walk in the shop. Why my man had Alex Jones on in the shop?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I walked in, and I'm like, yo, is this InfoWars?
Right.
And he was like, yeah, man, I just discovered him, like, a couple days ago.
This guy's great. You ever hear of him? He's got all the answers.
Yo, like, why are you watching InfoWars, man? Like,
niggas don't understand. I don't know specifically if, like, white folks or, like, people who aren't from the hood understand this shit. There's, like, a heavy dovetailing of, like, black folks and like working class black folks specifically, and like Alex Jones right wing conspiracy stuff.
Yeah,
one day we'll make a documentary about it. Today won't be that day,
nah. But
at some point. But yeah, that shit is that it. I'm not at all surprised that like in a barbershop, I'm assuming there's like black folks in your barbershop.
Yes. Yeah,
it that don't surprise me at all.
My barber's name is Bilal. So you like, you know you what go. I mean? Yeah, he was just like, yeah, I'm watching the joint. He was like, I don't know, he be saying some stuff sometimes. And so like I had to break down to him. I was like, no, dog, I was like, yo, what like the biggest thing is he, you know, there's gotta be nuggets of truth in what he says, otherwise it's completely like insane.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like the difference between a dude like ranting and raving on a street corner and Alex Jones is Alex Jones sprinkles in a nugget of truth every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Meanwhile, he tells you there's interdimensional vampires that are sucking the life out of children and shit. Right. Like,
what was he saying about the cheerleaders?
Oh, the devil worshiping cheerleaders. Still one of my favorite things ever, yo.
That's definitely like a screenplay.
Yeah.
That he wrote and pitched and it got rejected. So like InfoWars is like his stage. And he's like trying out material.
Ben Shapiro was a failed screenwriter.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, him and I forget, he had a writing partner who like went on to do some successful TV shows.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but like the stuff that he was writing with Ben Shapiro was not getting picked up.
Right.
And like that was like one of Ben Shapiro's like first books was like how like the left wing propaganda sneaks into your TV.
Oh, snap. So he has and a vendetta.
Yeah, it's all because like people didn't think he was funny.
Oh man. He's probably not. I don't know anything about him because I don't watch any of his like videos or like I make it a point to not like hate watch stuff.
Yeah,
either.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like when people talk about him, I'm almost always out of the loop on that shit because I don't watch. I'd go the other route and watch like crazy fucking Hotep conspiracy shit about white people having tails and shit like that. Like I'd watch that shit 1,000%. Before I would watch like hate watch a right wing, you know, like QAnon type shit or whatever.
Yeah, I know him most. First, I saw that he did the Thanksgiving video or whatever years ago. That was from his website, and it was like this, you know, like oh the Indians were savages and blah blah blah, like this whole thing, and he caught like a lot of flack for it,
right?
And he was like, oh, that I didn't have anything to do with that, and I was off the day it got posted type shit. So I remember that. Like, that was the first time I had, like, an idea, like, who his name was or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Majority Report with Sam Cedar is how I know a lot of these dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a, you know, it's like a super left-wing leading show and all that shit, and like they'll like shit on Ben Shapiro, Jordan Peterson, and
right.
Dave Rubin, like that famous meme that goes around. It's like, you know, so and so prove me other, you know, tell me why it's not or whatever, like that. Where that prove like me that wrong. White dude's like sitting at like a table.
Yeah,
that dude's Steven Crowder. He's a like super. Like right wing sociopath, essentially. Jeez. And he'll go to like college campuses and debate like trans rights.
Wow.
And shit like that. And like he'll argue, he's a grown man, like arguing right. with college students. Jeez. And like he'll like I'm debating them and beating them, and it's yeah. like yeah, they're college students, like you yeah. know what I mean.
Also, but, you can pretend you can argue. Like I want to see people like that argue with somebody like Khalid Muhammad, rest in peace. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like you can argue a student about you know trans people or something, because I notice a lot of times a lot of like right wing white males specifically, they'll argue like the validity of black people, indigenous people, or yeah. you know something like that, and they play on the fact that we're like close to this shit and emotional about it, you know what I mean? And that's like how they you know pretend like they're making like a logical argument or whatever. They'll argue, you know, with a woman like, you know, you all should be in the kitchen. Prove me wrong. And women are like, what the fuck? And then it looks like they're winning yeah. the argument. But like, go argue like if Khalid Muhammad was still alive, nigga, and he calling you a fucking beast. Go argue with that shit.
This popped up just this week on like left wing Twitter recently was he tried that shit at a transportation workers union like strike.
Oh wow.
And I think it was an auto union worker strike, and he tried to like get into like these like 40 and 50 year old dudes faces who are like, he was like, you know, like so approved to justify to me why you shouldn't be working and blah blah blah, blah. And like dudes just hauled off and stole him, like you know what I mean.
That motherfucker got slid.
Yeah, he just started getting his ass beat, and like no. I was and, like he was like I think he after that was like I'm just gonna stick to like arguing with college students, yeah. like you know what I mean.
Because not everybody yeah. is required to uphold like this veneer of civility with yeah. you, and as I feel like that's what a lot of I'm not even talking about like these like motherfuckers who are like in the woods with a militia or something, but like these right wing motherfuckers who you know fancy themselves like public intellectuals, they come out in the world and they say like trans people should die, or like
yeah.
you know Jews should have died in the Holocaust, like horrible things, and they act like, oh, it's just words and we're having a civilized debate. No, nigga, you're debating people's existence, and people don't have to maintain a veneer of civility with you. They can punch you in your fuck, crack yeah, you in exactly. your shit. You know yeah, what I mean? Yeah. And it's justified.
Yeah, I don't have, I'm not going to argue my humanity with you.
No.
Like, that's not going to happen.
You're going to get faded, like, and it's going to be it.
If you think that's what I'm supposed to do, like you don't. Once you start arguing somebody's humanity, we don't have an argument anymore. We have a severe, like, you know what I mean. Like once you're telling me you don't believe in someone else's humanity, then we have a problem.
Yeah, that's like a threat.
Yeah, like we can listen, man. We can, you know, we can disagree about like taxes and shit like that. But right. like, what you know what I mean? Like when you start, like it's the James Baldwin quote. It's like, you know, we can disagree and I can still love you. But it's when your disagreement involves my humanity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then we have an issue. And it's like, yeah, like, dude, like, you know, we can disagree about different issues. But, like, once you start, like, yeah, you know, it was good that, like, white folks stole the land from indigenous people. And, like, they weren't using the land the way it should have been used. Yeah. And blah, blah, blah. It's like, nope. Yeah, I don't got to have this. I don't got to continue to have this conversation with you. You right. know what I mean?
It's just crazy. It's sad to me how pervasive that kind of stuff is in our like public discourse now, but it doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Were you gonna say we should take a break?
I was gonna say we should probably get ready to take a break.
Okay. Yeah, let's take a break, and then there's we gotta still talk about more of this shit. This is right wing fucking nonsense, because there have been some recent developments. But yeah, let's hop out. Come right back.
Yep.
back in effect. So this shit, I didn't read anything on this. You know, you added this to the doc. I'm not surprised that this happened. Apparently Kanye's one of his advisors is a far right political strategist. Could you talk to us some more about
get
this?
Some like super far right like Scandinavian politicians in office. Essentially, like, this has been rumored for a while, is that essentially, like, Kanye's whole presidential campaign was like try to be an inroads of like, yo, let's like take votes away from Biden.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he's only on the ballot in a couple places. He's not even, like, he missed the ballot in a bunch of states.
Yeah, I heard about that.
So like, he's only like, I think Wisconsin is one place he's on a ballot, maybe Ohio. But apparently what it has always been is it has been essentially a move to like disenfranchise some voters. Mm-hmm. And I don't know though, but like I don't know anybody who was like, yo, I'm definitely voting for Biden, and then Kanye announced it was like, I don't know, like I might vote for Kanye. I don't know anybody who took Kanye running for president serious.
Right. I wonder what the thought process is, and if it does it just, I wonder whether or not the thought process is like, okay, you know, there are far right interests who want to torpedo Biden, or at least, you know, take votes away from Biden. So Kanye West is who they
yeah.
hitch their wagon to. I wonder if the thought ever went past, oh, he's black and famous.
Yes.
And he's visible. You know what I mean? Because, like, I don't know any black person who's seriously considered voting for Kanye West, even if he mounted, like, okay, when Cynthia McKinney ran in, I want to say, 2008 for the Green Party, that, from, you know, what I could see, I voted for her, you know what I mean? What I could see, that was as viable as it can be in a two-party system. That was like a viable independent candidacy, right? Like an alternative to the two majors.
Yeah.
Even if Kanye did that, it would be difficult for me to see black folks voting for him when he just said that slavery was a choice last year, and he just said some shit, whatever wild shit he said about Harriet Tubman a few months ago. It would be difficult for me to see any like serious black serious and impactful percentage of the black populace voting for him. So I wonder if these like right wingers, you said this motherfucker's is he like not even from here? This strategist?
I'm not sure exactly. I know he's, see, like a lot of these dudes go, you know, they're international anyway. They, you know, they, like Bannon has been involved in a bunch of elections all over the world.
Yeah. Just out here, just like, oh, yeah, you racist? You hate, you know, Arabs and black people and Jews? Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. And like, they get, essentially, a lot of these dudes get paid to then, like, sprinkle in, like, white supremacy ideals into different things. Like, you know, and Kanye is like, you know, we all should have known, like, you know, when he became like super, like uber religious, he, you know, all of a sudden it was like, you know, he's against abortion and he's, you know, he thinks women need to be covered up more. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's respectability politics now. And like, you know what I mean? Like all of a sudden, like, you know, I don't know. I don't think people realize like how much of a theocracy like Kanye definitely would have tried to implement. Like, right. You know what I mean?
That train is never late. It's crazy because if I held public office, you know, I'm not like a religious person. You know what I'm saying? I love religion, but I'm not like a person who, you know, subscribes to any one religion. I see, you know, like the message and the beauty in a bunch of them.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't see me being a public figure and wanting to, if we're talking like base, like moral ideas, you know, that the cops shouldn't be out here like shooting people and you know, getting away with it. You know, governing from that is different than, you know, they're like a set of rules in like a religious book that you want to impose. You want to use state power to impose. I don't understand that and that desire for religious people to like get in the public office and then you're going to make everybody live by your book in particular.
Yeah, I dog, and especially not in a country that supposedly has separation between church and state.
Right.
That we know is not real anyway. I mean, only like Christian holidays are recognized holidays anyway, and federally at least. So yeah, there's a lot of that kind of stuff. I don't know. I mean, like when I become mayor of Philadelphia, I definitely won't be using religion as any, you know, springboard for my campaign.
Right.
It'll mostly be about strip clubs.
Dog, if we could get like a pro stripper mayor,
yeah,
that would be lit.
Definitely, dog. Man, you know, also I'd be definitely trying to change like the curfew here, like the fact that we still have like a super Puritan curfew of 2 o'clock, like,
right. Dog, Philly would be so popping. Like we're going off subject, but Philly would be so popping if it were open past 2.
Yes, I don't understand why we're not. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me, man.
I hate the fact that I'm like, I've so many times in my life I've had like a packed dance floor at 2 a.m.
Yeah,
and I'm playing a record, and the bar manager is like flicking the lights up.
Yeah,
you know what whack. I mean? Motherfuckers, we used to do Sophistafunk and shit. Motherfuckers would just stay and dance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even if I cut the music off, people would like sing. Like you used to go, you remember, you know what I mean? Like, people don't want to. We're a major fucking metropolitan city. Why are we closing down at 2 a.m.?
Dog, like, listen, I love Wawa and everything, but like, Wawa shouldn't be the only thing I'm going to be able to get food at like fucking 3 in the morning. Like, right. You know what I mean? There should be more shit open.
Dog, I'll say this. Like, South Philly, you know, it's fucking whatever. I live around the corner from a fucking Mummer's clubhouse. So, you know, fuck South Philly on a lot of levels. But, like, we definitely have, like, the diners and shit that we can hit up late if we wanted to. You know?
Yeah, diners are clutch.
Yeah,
they closed so many of them, man. Like, there used to be a bunch on Erie that we would hit, but like they closed so many. A couple on like Hunting Park, shit like that too. And like a lot of IHOPs ain't open 24 hours no more. So like you can't even hit like the IHOP no more in the middle of the night. That's crazy. But yeah, man. Like I don't know. To get back to like the whole Kanye thing, like. The fact that, like, there's, like, also, like, I think, like, him and Jared Kushner?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just, like, he just reminds me of the boy, that scary movie and shit. He looked just like that thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Jared Kushner, I know, like, he's, like, consulted. I don't know how you're running Trump's campaign and consulting Kanye too, because I know he's like did some consulting for Kanye.
Jesus.
But I honestly, like I said, I don't think anybody took it serious to begin with. I know a lot of people like who posted those videos of like the shit you were talking about earlier with the Harriet Tubman shit that he said.
Yeah.
A bunch of those videos that got posted for people who had like wrote like, oh, I went to this campaign event as a joke, like, you know what I mean? I went for the spectacle of it,
right?
Which is a whole nother lane of like, should we be going to like Kanye shit and like looking at it as spectacle at this point? But yeah, I don't know anybody who like really took it serious, but like, let's put it this way. Somebody took it serious enough that like implanted a far right political strategist in his campaign to, you know, to spread ideas. And like that happens a lot. That's the whole point of like somebody like a Milo Yiannopoulos, who like they flat out said was to mainstream white supremacy ideals.
Right. Make that shit appear, you know, a little more like toothless and acceptable.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the idea behind the Candace Owens. And that's an idea behind, you know, a Ben Shapiro and those type of dudes. Is like, you know, they get paid by far right people to essentially sprinkle in white supremacy ideals and like uber capitalist shit to like make it just like even more palatable. You know what I mean? I mean, fuck, you have a whole news station in Fox News. Like Tucker Carlson straight said this past week, like, for us to save the country, we need to defeat Black Lives Matter.
Shit.
You know, I mean, fuck Tucker Carlson. I mean,
right, like, right.
You know what I mean? He, I like, dog, I've never seen a more punchable face in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, like, he gets paid. Like, dudes get paid to do that. Like, they get paid to mainstream white supremacy.
Right, right.
So, I someone took Kanye's campaign, at least on the far right, they took it serious enough that they thought, like, having somebody powerful enough in his campaign to do those type of things, to, like, mainstream those kind of ideals.
Yeah. And the most, just as a rule, the most evil motherfuckers play all the angles.
Oh, yeah, you know what I mean? 100%.
For any possible outcome. Is, I'll say this, when Trump ran against Hillary Clinton, for a while, I did not believe that this motherfucker would win.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? For a while. I was one of those ones who was like, man, this nigga can't win. Like, get out of here. It doesn't make any sense. He was on The Apprentice last year. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can't win. And I think that, speaking to what you said about Kanye and spectacle, it's dangerous. Our politicians should be, you know, ideally, should be like the most nondescript, you know, morally, I mean, I don't know, this may be like an oxymoron, like a moral politician, but like, these motherfuckers, we should be voting in, like, you know, square motherfuckers. Like, we're, as a country, culturally, we're attracted to spectacle, whether it's, you know, positive or negative, we're like attracted to that. And it's getting, it seems like it's getting like worse and worse, you know, as time goes on. And, you know, you have somebody like Donald Trump who just says crazy shit, you know what I mean? Does like damaging shit. And a lot of people, I feel, on one level are, on one level, it's like blatantly racism that, you know, he like spoke to a lot of white people's, you know, like desires and
fears
and like their racial pathology in this country. And that's, you know, he won a lot of votes that way. But I think also like a lot of people in this country are just, you know, attracted to spectacle. And it don't matter if it's good or bad or like positive or negative. It's something about, you know, spectacle and celebrity that people are drawn to. People throughout the entire aughts hate watched Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
And everything that she did. You know what I mean? Everything that she did, short of, you know, that record that she made with Timbaland. You know what I mean? But like everything that they put her in, people tuned in. And then as soon as, you know, she passed the baton to Kim Kardashian and her family, then people spent another decade hate watching them. And attracted to that spectacle. So it's a dangerous, you know, thing in our culture that kind of allows for that and allows for, you know, a Kanye West, even though I don't think that he's a viable candidate, but under a different set of circumstances, he absolutely could be.
Yeah. I think... in a completely different climate, as far as like what's going on right now, not like Corona times and shit like that. Mm-hmm. You know, he definitely could be a candidate that would run, and you know, people could get behind him, and yeah. you know,
funding, and you know,
yeah, exactly. And he was super serious about it. You know, didn't get in. You know, 2 years into the like, you know what I mean, the race,
right?
Yeah, like. If he really wanted to do it, it wouldn't be something. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
He'd have the, like, so much of politics is like the name game. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And, like, he would have the name and he'd have a built in audience already.
Yeah. I think that the Trump thing specifically should be a lesson. We at least got to be, like, thinking and talking about this. The fact that it's either going to be a Democrat or a Republican that's going to win. You know what I mean? The fact that the game is rigged so deeply that the Republicans could run literally anybody, yeah. you know, a guy like Donald Trump, and they've got a 50-50 shot because there are no viable alternatives. That's, I don't even want to say a hitch in the system. That shit's fucked up. You know what yeah. I mean? Joe Biden has a 50-50 shot. Joe Biden is on record with the crime bill. The entire country for the past few months has been on fire over outside of the literal fire yeah, on the West the Coast.
Fires on the West Coast.
Politically has been on fire about policing in this country. Yep. Joe Biden is one of the architects of the crime bill. He still has a 50-50 shot. Joe yeah. Biden is on record. You have people who rightfully are outraged about racism in this country. Joe Biden is on record supporting a segregationist.
Mm-hmm. And spoke at Strom Thurmond's funeral. He gave the eulogy at Strom Thurmond's funeral.
A straight up devil. You know yeah. what I'm saying? A straight devil. And he still has a 50-50 shot. That shit should show you that this thing ain't working right, or working like, I don't even want to say how it should be. It ain't working in the interest of the people.
Yeah, I mean, we're at a situation now where, like, the wage gap in this country is so big. The wealth gap, excuse me, is so huge. And he's on video telling billionaires, if I'm elected president, nothing will fundamentally change for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, well, if nothing fundamentally changes for them, nothing will fundamentally change at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, he has a 50-50 shot of being president.
Mm-hmm.
We are literally in a point, we are in a position in this country that I was talking to this, like I mentioned earlier with my barber. I mentioned the fact that, like, you know, we need more maybe of a parliamentary government where you have several different parties, like, you know what I mean, there's yeah. you know, England has like 10 different parties and there's yeah. representation for every, so it's not like, you know, there are two major parties, two bigger parties, but there's also so many other little ones, so it's not like such a standoff. So like right now we can't even get a sensible stimulus package passed for the country,
yeah, in a fucking like, pandemic.
In a pandemic, like, they gave out $1,200 4 months ago and just were like, yo, rock with that.
Yeah.
And like, and we have nothing since. Like, the fucking Congress went on vacation while people were starving.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, you know, the economy is still in the shitter, and there's still, you know, over 1 million people filed for unemployment last week. And right. like, excuse me, we're in a position now, like, but we're in a complete standoff because, like, there's it's one party versus the other. There is no, like, there's no intermediates to be just be like, well, listen, we're with them. Like, let's just get this fucking thing settled. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Let's dig in our heels and make it. It's so much of politics in this country is grandstanding to make, like, mm-hmm. you know, to be a visual. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know. Shade Queen Nancy Pelosi, you know what I mean, can give a fake clap for Trump, and that was what all she needed to do.
It's meanwhile, more spectacle.
Yeah, and meanwhile, like, she presides over the largest wealth income inequality in the country is her district.
Her district, yeah.
You know what I mean? But people go like, oh, she shaded Trump. Oh, man. Yes, queen. Like, stop. Like, Twitter is, like, useless for shit like that.
Right. Also, a lot of people, there are a lot of brilliant, experienced organizers on Twitter. And I'm not
100%.
Trying to take away from that. A lot of Twitter discourse is by motherfuckers who literally just got active politically.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers who've been woke, like, a year. Two summers, three summers. You know what I'm saying? Which everybody should have a voice in this shit. The core problem is that the way things are set up on the systemic level, we have a very limited amount of power as of a populace and a very small amount of people and the politicians that they buy have an inordinate amount of power.
Yeah.
Once, if we don't get to the core of that shit, like, if we're even like, if we're talking like on like, just process on how to, you know, start to turn some of this shit around. If we're not talking about campaign finance reform and all elections being equally funded out of a public pot and politicians can't take anything from private interests, none of this shit will get sussed out. Of course, they take vacations when people are getting thrown out of their homes.
Yep.
They don't work for us.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because it's structured that way.
Yeah, I mean, like, the whole big thing that people are talking about right now is Trump being caught on tape by Bob Woodward saying, like, well, I didn't want to raise a panic.
Crazy.
And people are like, oh, you don't think people were panicking already? But what people are missing the point. He wasn't talking about people panicking.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about the market panicking. He was talking about the stock market. He didn't want a panic and a sell-off of stocks.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want the market to crash.
Yeah.
That's what mattered, because that's what matters in this country.
Yeah.
Like, they keep talking about a great economy because the Dow Jones is up.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, how many people you know that ain't working, or that if they're working you know, job way under their means, or multiple jobs to try and cover for it, or, you know, they're driving fucking Uber during a pandemic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're working a regular job as well as driving Uber.
Right.
And that's not to shade anybody who does that. The point is that, you know, so many people are delivering DoorDash on the side, or, you know, fucking Uber Eats, or doing Uber or Lyft or whatever on the side, just to get by.
Yeah. Work all day and then do that shit.
Yeah.
Ride around and bring people food.
Yeah, because they have no choice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because they don't get paid a living wage. And, like, none of that's going to change anytime soon as long as, like, we continue on the path that we're on.
Yeah.
And I know they're talking about, like, having Ice Cube come in and talk with the Biden campaign for, like, an agenda for Black America.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that would be awesome. But, like, Biden himself Ice Cube himself doesn't have the power to hold the fire to the feet of Biden.
Right.
The people who have the power to hold the fire to the feet of Biden are the corporate interests that fucking give him money.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to make a gentleman's handshake with Ice Cube. And be like, yo, I'm going to do right by Black people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know. Like, Ice Cube, I fucking love Ice Cube.
Yeah.
What, what concrete political movement does Ice Cube have behind him?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Killer Mike been talking to politicians on behalf of Black people, you know, for the better part of this fucking decade.
Yeah.
What is Killer Mike politically outside of his own celebrity, you know what I'm saying? Like what is he like, does he have a special interest or a grassroots political organization? People see when There's a book written by a brother from Philly. The book is called We Will Return in the Whirlwind. And it's based on it's about black radical political organizations in the 60s and 70s. He basically does a study of the Black Panther Party as a local organization in Oakland, but also as a national organization. The Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, RAM, the Revolutionary Action Movement, and a movement out of Detroit. The Detroit auto workers, the Black Detroit auto workers, formed a Marxist organization back in the day. These were mass organizations that could like mobilize people, even outside of just voting. You know, if they needed to, you know, handle some shit in the other way, they could do that too. There's very little of that from the grassroots in this country now. So Ice Cube can meet with Joe Biden. Joe Biden can have, you know, commercials with like Black Lives Matter activists, you know what I mean, in like saying nice things about him. But if you don't have, you know, a way of leveraging power against these people, they're just taking a nice meeting with you and then they're going back to Wall Street and being like, yo, it's all good.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, there's no, you like, you can't, like, I mean, we've seen the platitudes for, you know, candidate after candidate after candidate.
Yeah.
And they'll shake the hands and they'll say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then, you know, a Medicare for All bill gets completely torn up and the head of the fucking Affordable Care Act is a dude who used to work for a health insurance company.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah, that's what happens, man. Like, that's why, you know, they're going to tell you a million things. But, like, unless you have the political power to, like, hold their feet to the fire, it doesn't make a difference, man. Yeah. He can sit down with whoever. Well, fucking Trump was sitting down with, you know, Ray Lewis go visit him or some shit like that. Like,
Jim Brown and shit.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Man. And the pastor boy that got that really dark dye job going on and shit, like he went to it, like that doesn't mean like, you know what I mean?
I love that you described him like that.
Yeah, I can't think of my man name and shit. But yeah, he, you know what I mean? Like, you know, he can sit down with, you know, these dudes can sit down with whoever they want and they tell you whatever they need to tell you. That's their job. They're politicians. Like, you know what right. I mean? But unless there's any kind of real, like they're not beholden to you, you know, like, dude, we've seen it. I mean, they just caught Bull on tape. Was it Jamal Brown who beat? I think Jamal Brown beat him in New York. During the protests, he was like, yo, I'm only out here because I got an election to win.
Wow. They caught him on tape saying that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He's like, I'm only out here because I got I don't know if he said I got an election to win, but he was like, I'm only out here because I got a primary.
Yeah.
And like they were talking about that the dude that AOC beat, they were like, yo, he don't even live here. Like, you know what I mean? Right. He's like, you know, he pops up when the elections are going on, and you know what I mean? He'll march in like the New York Pride Parade because it's election season.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I mean? It was like, but he's never in the community. He don't live around here.
Yeah.
And like, that's what these dudes do. Like, they pop up, they get they get their FaceTime, and then they bounce.
Right. Yeah, this shit, this why you gotta like talk to elders, you know what I mean? Like, cause they've been doing this dance. I love reading history, you know what I'm saying? Cause like, we've been doing a lot of these same dances for decades.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the shit has not, I mean, everything changes. Life's dynamic is always changing, but we're stuck in a lot of the same loops that our parents and grandparents were in, and motherfuckers aren't taking a different approach. You know what I mean?
I didn't mean to cut you off, dog.
I was just going to say, you got rappers meeting with politicians and, you know, folks meeting with politicians who, like, they know you don't want to tear this shit up. You know what I'm saying? And they know that there's no moneyed interest in them, taking your agenda seriously. You know what I'm saying? Like, why did Richard Nixon have, like, fuck Richard Nixon, you know what I'm saying? But, like, just Google Richard Nixon and Black Power. You know what I'm saying? Why did Richard Nixon pump federal dollars into inner cities around the country in the 1960s? Because motherfuckers was tearing this shit up.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers was tearing this shit up. And it's not like, you know, advocating for violence, but sometimes violence gets shit done.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes violence gets shit done. And if you don't have some kind of counterbalance of power or some kind of, you know, means of like pushing these motherfuckers, then, you know, there's not too much that you can do. So yeah, it's crazy to me that we're in such a dire space politically, and I don't see. I'm an optimist, but I don't see how it can get better. You know what I mean? Motherfuckers tore up shit a few months ago, and now we're right back to voting and just that.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think I hate to say it this way, but we're in a country that doesn't respect anything but violence. I mean, everything that they have an issue with, they declare war on. There's a war on poverty, and there's a war on drugs, and there's a war on the coronavirus.
Right.
This country doesn't respect anything but violence, even in, like, just violent wording, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the only way I think you can truly make any real change is complete fundamental dismantling. And then sometimes like listen, man, change is violent. Like, there's no fucking around with that. Like, it's real shit. Like, change is violent, and it's uncomfortable. And I don't see any way, you know, everybody. I want to say that. I don't want to say everybody. That's generalizing. But people will point to, you know, the Selma or the March on Washington or those type of things and go like, well, that's how, you know, like, civil rights was enacted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, riots were a part of that too.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean? Burning shit to the fucking ground was a part of that.
Yeah.
And it's the only reason, like, that's the only way shit works. And it's like, I'm sorry, but it's the only thing, like, the enemy respects.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that would not hesitate to burn your shit to the ground.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We have fucking evidence of it. And whether it's burning it down literally with fire or burning it down with completely defunding it.
Yeah.
They only respect those type of ways. And so you have to fight back that same way.
Yeah, it can't be the same shit that we've been doing. So yeah, let's pop out.
Break.
Yeah, take our final break and come back and chat about some new music.
Yep.
Boom! Back in effect. So. I listened to the new Conway album.
Yeah.
Was it From King to a God?
Yeah.
What did you feel about it? Because I thought it was cool. Some of it I was like, about. But overall, like, my main issue was, like, some of the beats and some of the musical choices. Him as an MC, he's, like, on fire with this fucking thing.
I loved it. Yeah. I'm surprised. I liked the moving away from everything being like this dark, dismal beat.
Mm.
And I like that shit. Like, you know what I mean? But I liked, like, changing some of that shit. Like, the Hit-Boy joint is definitely not like that. There's a couple joints on there. I think the Murder on the Beat joint is not like that. Mm-hmm. There is some, like, I will say this. I don't really need some dude barely being able to singing hooks.
Right, right.
Like, I don't know. That I could have done without. But I liked it. I liked it a lot, man. I'm going to go back and listen to it again. I only really got one good listen in. But I really enjoyed it. I also enjoyed the fact that it's not, like, overladen with, like, features.
Right. I feel like sometimes there's pressure for an artist when you make that major label leap.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, oh, we're gonna get 2 Chainz, we're gonna get this person, yeah, or that person, oh, here come Nas, you know what I mean? It's like a pressure to put, like, everybody as a feature on your record.
Yeah, I like the fact that it's, you know, there's, and I mean, even just to, like, the Griselda crew, there's one record. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's another record, like Flea Lord's on a track and shit like that, but, like, and El Camino's on a joint, but like, as of, like, the you know, the
core.
Yeah, the trilogy, like, you know what I mean? They're not they're only on one song.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, Westside's only got, like, 8 bars on that joint. Like, it's not, he doesn't even have, like, a full verse.
He be popping in. Like, he pop in,
yeah,
and get out. He'll be giving, he don't, Westside, I feel like, doesn't overstay his welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he knows how to maneuver that well.
Yeah.
One thing I will say, like, I think you can see Conway is the one who took this the most serious as far as, like, them as a crew and all that stuff. Like, mm-hmm. he was the dude who was like, yo, I want to be a rapper. Like, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And I think it shows in, like, his ability to make songs.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do appreciate, like you said, that they moved away, that Conway specifically moved away from the sound of the older records.
Yeah.
Like, there's still, like, he still does shit like that, but it's not like every track is, like, you know, 80 BPM, some, like, dark loop or whatever, and him rapping on it. I love that, you know, he's, like, stretching out and growing, and I feel like a lot of times we don't really give artists, specifically rappers, we don't give, like, the space to do that shit.
Yeah. I also... Like, I know the premiere record had to be a late edition because, like, there's references to, like, a month ago on there.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I know this got, like, pushed back. So I'm wondering, like, if it was a situation, because there's another record on there where he makes, like, a reference to something, like, really recent.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if there was some shit where he just was like, well, he didn't feel like the record was finished, so they wanted to add some stuff to it.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it. I really, really liked it. I'm gonna go back and listen to it again to get, like, you know, a fuller experience. But I enjoyed it. I was surprised that you didn't like it, because you did. But, like, to say, like, oh yeah, it wasn't feeling it as much. I, like, for me right now, it's, like, up on my list for, like, top 10 for the year.
Yeah, yeah. This shit is crazy because we do this show every week, and then I'm pretty much on NPR All Songs Considered every week, and the amount of, like, new shit compared to, you know, last year and the years prior, like, the amount of new shit that I have to listen to for work, but then also the amount of, like, good new shit that's been coming out, you know what I mean? It's like a dream. Like, I imagine some kid who's, like, 16 and, like, a hip 16-year-old, not, like, a 16-year-old who don't know, you know, anything outside of, radio's not really a factor, but, like, a kid who's, like, young and knows, like, the underground, he's, like, tapped in on that. I could imagine, you know what I mean, like, you got Conway, Benny, all of this, just all of this stuff that's been coming out, and, like, a young person who's, like, tapped in on that, this is, like, a golden era for them.
Yeah, for
real.
You
know what I'm saying?
I also checked out Young's Teflon dropped a new single, El Clasico, for the Call of Duty 3 that's going to drop this month. And that shit is super tight. He also dropped his Fire in the Booth with Charlie Sloth. That's fucking amazing, yo. You know, I don't, you know, I've talked about Young's plenty on here, and he's like my favorite MC from England. So, but like this El Clasico joint is super dope. The beat is fire. And then the Fire in the Booth, he fucking destroys it. So,
yeah.
Even, you know, he just kills his shit. So I definitely would say both check out, you know, just go to YouTube for the Fire in the Booth joint, and El Clasico is available everywhere. And I would definitely tell people to check out From Kingdom of God too. It's super. I really enjoy it. So I think I definitely say folks to check it out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But other than that, I think we can start wrapping up. We have a semi-major announcement. SeriousRapShit.com is fully functional and available.
Word.
And we have fucking merch for sale, yeah.
Mad merch. We got hoodies, t-shirts,
beanies.
You know what I'm saying? Beanies.
You know what I mean?
We got the Letterman jacket, Blizzard of 96.
Yeah.
Jackets. We got to get Blizzard of 96. We got to get hoodies and like parkas made with that shit.
Yeah.
Because I feel like niggas would really rock that.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of dope shit on there. You can just get the classic fucking hoodie or t-shirt with the Serious Rap Shit logo on there. Mm-hmm. Public School Dungeon. There's a ton of shit on there. I would say go check that shit out. Order it up. You know what I mean? Definitely go check it out. There's also a never seen before YouTube video up there from the boys. You know, shot at Amalgam. Shout out to Amalgam.
Yeah, it was fun. That was one of our live shows.
Yes, that was one of our live shows. When the world was, you could still do live shows. You
could go outside. Yeah.
But yeah, we so it's never before seen video up there. There's the merch. There's some background info on us. But yeah, it's live. Go check it out. SeriousRapShit.com. You can also reach us at all the social media. Serious Rap Shit on Instagram and Twitter. I'm Indy, I-N-D-I.